Amen. It's good to be back again. Y'all hang in there. I just sitting there thinking, listening to one of my favorite songs there. If Vicky goes crazy next week and leaves me, runs out on me, I know it's well in my soul. If my home falls apart, if my business falls apart, if my church falls apart, it's well in my soul. Thank God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm heading to glory land. What a blessing. And we're talking about a word about our spiritual relationship. And now, to me, what is one of the touchiest subjects that we teach on that I feel is very important is in the Word of God. And, you know, a lot of people believe that you ought not mention this subject, but it's in the Word of God, and it's part of our lives, is a word concerning our sexual relationship. Now, before some of you that's never heard this fall all apart, I'm going to be a perfect gentleman about this. I'm going to use the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you some things that will help you. Amen? A lot of folks say, I can't believe that the preacher would mention that. You know what? I'd rather you be a little red-faced right here in the house of God than for you to hear all the devil's lies out there in the world and on television about this subject. This is a subject. I've actually got a definition for this subject, and it is God's wedding gift to a married couple. And I think if we could keep it at that perspective, we'd have a whole lot better world. God didn't intend for this to be anything other than that. Our ancestors, most of them, and our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, they taught about this subject by making us feel like it was something dirty. And they made people feel like it, and it's passed down from generation to generation to generation that this is a dirty thing. It is not. God made us that way. He made us that way, and He gave us this thing as a gift for a married couple. It's something that is to be good. It's not something that is to be bad. It's not something that's to be looked down upon. A lot of couples have problems with this because one or the other has been taught and it's been placed in their mind that this is an ugly thing, and it is not. What does the Bible say about it? Well, we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 what it says about it. Now, first of all, why marry? I touched on this a little bit while ago. This word, we talked about this word fornication. It's an illicit sexual activity, don't matter what it is. And anything outside of this marriage is evil, it's not good. But on the other hand, Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God knew what we were like when He made us. God knew. He gave every feeling you've got is what God gave you. There's a natural feeling that all comes attached to us. And God's, just like I said before, a lot of you think, oh, I wish I wasn't like this. The way I am. No, you just need to learn how to direct those feelings. The way God made you direct them and put them in the right areas where you can be a blessing. Amen? Why marry? We marry to stay out of sin. Amen? Because God knows what we're like. Satan has taken something that intended to be a blessing, and he's exploited it and turned it into something bad. You know, these desires are not evil. Every male and every female possesses them. Now, I want to show you a verse of Scripture where some of you know where it's at that does make this sin evil. Turn me to Romans chapter number 1. I've said it, I know how to put it in a nutshell. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, other than, you know, people label this as being a hate crime. A lot of people think that I don't like this sin of homosexuality because I hate them. That's not true. I do hate the sin because I believe God hates the sin. But you need to have ammunition. You need to know where to turn to in the Word of God that teaches you this. Here's one as clear as I know of in the whole Word of God. verse number 24 in Romans chapter number 1 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, turn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense for their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Folks, this thing of homosexuality is not an accepted lifestyle. It's never been accepted by God. It never will be accepted by God, and it is not to be accepted by the people of God. You need to make a stand, and you need to know where you can show this to somebody scripturally. God made us to be attracted to the opposite sex. He made us that way, and you need to get out of your mind that it's something dirty, because it's not. Now, what we need to do is we need to learn how to keep this thing within the marriage and keep it the way God intended it to be. God teaches us through the Word right here that we're not to let each other do without, in other words. It says we're not to, it says render, verse number 3, it says let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise also the husband unto the wife. In verse number 5, it says defraud ye not one the other except it be with consent for a time. Amen. These desires are not evil. Women's desires are stirred up emotionally. Emotionally. Fellas, you must learn that. It's an emotional thing to a woman. They're not like us at all. We don't understand that, but we must get it across. We must understand for us to get along with our wives, it's got to be an emotional thing. And I'm not going to get ugly, and I know how not to get ugly. I know how not to cross lines. If, fellas, if you want things to be right in the bedroom, you're going to have to start in the kitchen. Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably go back further than that. If you want things to be right tonight, you should have started yesterday. Amen. That's one way y'all ladies got it made. All you got to do is open up that drawer. You don't hardly ever open anymore. You ain't got to go back 2 days. You ain't got to start in the kitchen. Amen. You know why? Because we are physically stirred up. Sight, touch. That's what we need. You can stir us up physically. We could care less about the emotional part. That's just what we got to use on y'all. But fellas, you need to remember that it all starts that way. And, you know, not only that, we need to understand what our needs are as women, what the needs are as men. And we need to realize that we're not like the other one, and we need to put the other one first. You know what, ladies? If you really and truly did put your husband first, you would quit being selfish, and you'd start giving your husband what he likes. Amen. If your husband likes for you to open up that nighty drawer, you ought to open up that nighty drawer. Whatever he likes, that's what you ought to provide for him, because it says the marriage bed is undefiled. As long as it does not go against the Word of God. It's alright and it's okay. Same thing with you fellas. We gotta figure out the emotional part. We gotta get there. We gotta learn it. You know another thing that works both ways, and I used to think it was just a woman thing, and that's trust. Trust. If two people are going to become intimate, and physically intimate, the way God intended them to be, there has got to be a trust there. There's no room for jealousy in a marriage. Now I realize, you know, I've had couples say, well, I wouldn't be jealous if he or she hadn't have done something that made me jealous. I realize we all make mistakes, every one of us. We all do. There's been some mighty fine people that's failed. And don't think you couldn't, because every one of us are capable of falling. Well, let me tell you something. When we choose to forgive the other one, we need to forgive them. You know what forgiving is? It's acting like as though they never did it. That's what it's like. And we got to build that trust relationship all over again. We got to trust one another to have the kind of physical relationship that we ought to have one another. There must be trust there. There's no room for jealousy. Some of us need to grow up a little bit. We need to realize, first of all, that expression outside the marriage is evil. Like I said before, boy, we need to preach this thing. We need to just tell it like it is. It's an evil thing. That touch, that stimulation we talked about before, outside the confines of marriage is sinful. It's sinful. Anything outside the marriage. You know, let me go ahead and warn you men and you ladies. If the way this world is, if you work, if you're out there, you're going to be approached. Satan is going to tempt you. It's coming. It's coming one day. And what you're going to have to do is when the Holy Ghost of God, which saved you and indwells you, says, "Ank," and it says, "Turn and run," or "Turn and take that door," or even as far as "Quit this job." Amen. Amen. That's what you better do. You better go, because you are not strong enough for the temptations of the devil. You ain't strong enough. You can't dwell in it. You can't walk it. You can say, "Well, I'm strong. That'll never work on me," because it will pull at you. When the Holy Ghost says "Ank," you better run. You better get away from that sin. I mean, if you have to change jobs, whatever you got to do, you need to get away from it. I don't know. This may be a warning the Lord sent for somebody today. I have no idea. But you need to get away from it. You need to take that door. And let me tell you something. Don't ever get to the point of a touch. That's what the Bible's talking about here. Ladies, no man's got his right to lay his paws on you. Amen. Except for your husband. Amen. I don't know. I guess this is, maybe this is really Brother Ken's job. But come here, Vicky. I'm going to do it again. Brother David, I'm sure he's done it. I'm going to show y'all, for those y'all ain't seen it. This right here is the way I hug my wife, my daughters. This right here is the way I hug my sister in Christ. Let's do this right here. If you got a hug, you do that. You do all things decent. Ain't no man got no right to lay his paws on you. You know, and it seems like the pastors have to bust this thing. As always, a church Romeo. Can't keep his paws off of women. "Oh, sister, how you doing?" We had a little old church, Jezebel church I used to go to. She'd bear hug you. Pick you up off the ground. Old Jezebel. I'd stay off both sides of the church away from her. Then I finally got church where a preacher wasn't afraid to preach again it. Amen. You keep your paws off each other. That's for a husband, for a wife. Any touch that stimulates is a sin. That's Bible. Dennis didn't say that. The Bible said it. It is a sin. Any touch that stimulates. Amen. Anything outside the marriage is evil, y'all. It's evil. That's where your evil comes in. Amen. But let me tell you something about this physical relationship. I wrote down a few things right here. Some of you may not like it, but it's just the truth. There's a lot of things about this physical relationship between a husband and a wife. It'll do a lot of things for you. First of all, it reveals a sacredness. There's something sacred about it, you know? I mean, there's something sacred about me being able to have a relationship with my wife that nobody else can have. That's sacred, that's special. There's nobody else in this world that can have that relationship with me, or should have that relationship with me. She'll never have that relationship with nobody else but me. That's special, that's sacred, that's the way God intended it to be. It's a sacredness. Not only does it reveal a sacredness, it relieves stress. Some of you done got so busy in life, raising children, working. It's 11:30, it's time to go to bed. Monday night, Tuesday night, that's 11:30. It's time to go to bed. Before long, you've done went against that scripture we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. You've done defrauded you one another. You need to make time for that relationship in your life. And it is a physical fact. I mean, doctors have proven that it relieves stress. It's a helpful thing. It's a helpful thing in a lot of ways. It's not a bad, it's not ugly, it's not an evil thing. We've just gotten so busy these days. We need to take time with one another. Let me tell you something. Some of you mom and daddies need to be mom and daddies and tell them kids they're too young to be staying up late at night. Put them in the bed. Thank God when me and Vicky got married, that's one thing we did. We did do that. These two right here are going to probably hear it for the first time. We told y'all to get in the bed about 9:30. One of the reasons we did because y'all need to be in the bed. Another reason because we needed our time by ourselves. Amen. That's right. And teach little Johnny and little Susie not to be knocking on the door every 15, 20 minutes. And another thing, some of y'all really ain't going to like this. I think getting to the children thing. Now, some of y'all really ain't going to like this, but it's just a fact. When you start putting that young'un in the bed with you, you better be sure you fix create a problem. Now, them young'uns is precious, but you better get them out of the bed with you. And fellas, you need to have enough backbone to say no. I ain't going to do it. And I know them young'uns are precious. Don't you tell me nothing. I already know them grandbabies is precious. Lord of mercy. Woo, hallelujah, they're precious. But let me tell you something. Don't let them come between your marriage. You know what? That's exactly what the devil would love to do. He'd love to get you where you ain't got enough time for this. Or you can get so weak when he gets you out in that world, he'll create something, a trap for you, son. It'll be so hard for you to get out of it, be unreal. You better be careful. It relieves stress. It renews a specialness. Makes you feel special all over again. It repels sin. We just got through proving that point. You want to have strength? Folks, I don't know if y'all realize it, but this world's gone crazy about this thing. Watch TV without it, would you? The way people are dressing, it's unreal. I was so proud the other morning. I heard it. I think it's in Atlanta. I don't watch news much. Vicky watches it every morning. And she just fills me in. These boys with the britches hanging. I seen one the other day walk in front of my wife like that. And the Holy Ghost had to get a hold of me. I was fixing to say, boy, you pull your pants up in front of my wife. And maybe that's what we need to do. Somebody need to be bold enough to make a stand. And you know what? They made a law against that in Atlanta, was it, Vicky? Somewhere? Praise God they made a law against it. Now, if they just make a law for these girls and women to pull their shirts up, we have this thing about half lit, amen. Have y'all noticed what that style's going to? Let's see how close we can get to the belly button, amen. Let me tell you something. Every man in this room, he ought to be full-blooded, and that ain't going to be good for him to be walking around seeing that. Now, I expect the world to be like that, but not the church house. Y'all say, Brother Dennis, you're getting legalistic. No, I ain't neither. You know what one of the problems is about dress? I've got it figured out in a nutshell. One of the main problems we have about the way we dress as women, I don't hit the men thing, as women, is we dress in the streets like we should in the bedroom. You ever seen so many women got lace on in public? I see women all the time wearing stuff my wife's got in her special drawer. Out in public. Embarrasses me to death. Go to a car sale, throw some tickets up on the counter. Some girl sitting there, can I help you? Got on a natty. In the middle of the day. And it ain't night. And it ain't her bedroom and I ain't her husband. Amen. You know what? And then, they'll dress in the bedroom like it's in the street. There's another problem.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother David.
Yes, sir.
If enough of y'all men to stand up and say amen, we might fix this thing. Stand up and say amen. Hallelujah, ladies. It ain't just for honeymoon. It ain't just the first month you married. It's still good 15 years later. Lord have mercy. It's just a sad day when our wives are dressed more seductive in public than they will in the bedroom. That's sad. Ladies, you need to train your little girls up. And let me say something else. Men, we ought to be the leaders about this issue, about the way our daughters dress. Now, you ought to take hold about the way your boys dress. You know why I'm wearing this? Because I don't think it's right for my chest hair to be hanging out in the house of God. I don't think it's right. That's why I got this shirt underneath. I ain't got hot one time a day. And let me tell you something. My boys go to slacking, I'm going to go to jumping. That's my thing. But let me tell you something, when them little girls go to wear stuff too high or too low, mama, daddy shouldn't be breaking them. You ought to be doing it. Daddies ought not have to say nothing about that. Because you know them little girls, they need to be made feel beautiful by their daddies. They don't need to be harped on about it. They need to feel good and they need to feel like daddy thinks they're the most beautiful little girls in the whole wide world. But mama, this is up to you to make a stand. You know, the problem is, even Christian mamas, you'd rather your daughters to be popular. You don't care what kind of price you got to pay. You want them to fit in. And they'll come home and say, oh, but mama, everybody's wearing their shirt down to their navel. Then you expect her to be wearing, or you'll compromise. You say, well, we'll get it halfway up. That ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord mercy, I wasn't even in here. Glory to God. It repels sin, y'all. Here's another physical thing. I threw this in just for the fun of it, but me and Vic heard it on TV the other day. It rejuvenates the skin. They've proven that. Do you know you'll look younger? That's true. That was on TV today. I promise you, it's on there. They physically proven. Hey, keep your skin younger. Glory to God. But that don't give us a reason. Amen. Nah, don't grow hair, brother. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Lord have mercy. Hey, y'all stand on your feet for a second. Stretch your legs. I want to do this during this last segment. Make sure y'all didn't lose, y'all. Just stand. We ain't going to leave and go out now. I just want you to stretch. I get to stretch, so I want y'all to. So there's a lot of benefits to this thing. See, God did it for a reason. He knew that. He knew that if we didn't exercise, and I'm fixing to tell you, it's not only just it's a commandment. That's my next point. It's actually a commandment. God knew that. He knew we'd need it physically. He knew that. He knew we'd be ill and cranky and couldn't get along with nobody. Amen. Anybody amen that? Amen. I ain't being ugly. Amen. Glory to God. A word to the wedded. Let me tell you something about y'all married folks. This thing is commanded within the marriage relationship. It's forbidden outside, but it's commanded inside. This is a commandment from God. You know, we talked about the Corinthians and the way they were in the early church. And Lord of mercy, I imagine that's why Paul was really having to write to them about it, because they were really having a real tough time separating the way they used to be. Now they're saved. And they come out of a lifestyle where this thing was just open and blatant sin. And you can imagine them having to leave that now and go to the Word of God and listen to what Paul's trying to teach them and saying, you know, we got to turn from saying it was a struggle. It's a struggle for us living in the United States of America, the way this sin has just gone crazy. It's everywhere. It's a struggle for us to live that way. And God knows that, and that's why we have got to be careful, and that's why it is commanded. The Bible says there's a debt. This word, due benevolence, carries the idea of a debt that is owed. We need to pay our bills, amen? Hey, let me tell you something else. My daddy taught me, we need to pay our bills on time. Amen. There's a debt that's owed. Be timely with this thing, amen? That was brand new, by the way. That just come out. First time I seen that. This word, render, is a command, not an option. This word render, due benevolence, the word render actually is a command. It's not an optional thing. It is a command in our lives. So Folks, we're going to have to work together trying to figure this thing out and get it right. There is not only a debt, there's a devotion. You know, we're told that when couples come together, marriage relationship, they each lose something. While they both gain a spouse, they lose the right to their own body. This does not mean, fellas, that she's your slave. And she's supposed to go to your every little whim and your every little command. Don't think when you leave here tonight, your wife is at your disposal every second of the day. You got to have feelings for her too. Remember what we said about earlier about putting her first? And remember what we said, ladies, about putting him first? Did you know that if you put her first and she puts you first, you wouldn't have no problems whatsoever getting along in this area. None whatsoever. Everything would be just right. There is a devotion. Another thing is we don't need to place each other's satisfaction ahead of the other ones. Amen. We don't need to place ours ahead of the other ones. We need to place the other ones ahead of the other ones. There's also a demand. The demand, it says, to defraud. This word defraud means actually to deprive. And this has the meaning of punishment. Now, I've noticed that ladies in a younger marriage and sometimes in an older marriage, that's what they like to use this thing for. They like to hang it over their husband's head, that little thing about the cat. Get that little mouse on the end of the string, and I can just do anything I want to with him. Come on, honey. Come on, follow the string. Come on up over this pulpit. Follow the string over here on this piano. Follow there where you go. Whoa, I got him now. That ain't what God intends you to use this thing for. It's not something for you to hold over their head. Some do it out of spite or just to punish each other or for other selfish reasons. That's not what this is for. When you do that, you're withholding when you withhold this from your spouse, you're committing two terrible errors. Number one, you're depriving your partner of him or her right as your mate. Number one. And number two, you open the door for a satanic attack in your home when you deprive the other one. You need to remember that. Now, finishing on this subject, there's a good writer on home, Warren W. Wiersbe. I don't know if y'all have heard of him, but I really like his writings. He made this statement that I quoted him on, and I really like it. And I think, those of you that's making notes, if you could write this down, I think it would be pretty good for you. Sexual love is a beautiful tool to build with, not a weapon to fight with. And to refuse each other is to commit robbery. I'll repeat that. Sexual love is a beautiful tool to build with. It's not a weapon to fight with. And to refuse each other is to commit robbery. Whew, glad that's over with. Now, we're concerning our special relationship. There must be a closeness. This word, benevolence, it also means affection and goodwill. You know, what if we just tried to see how many good deeds we could do for each other? What would that do? Kill each other with kindness. You know, I found out before that Vicky can get ill with me about something. And I can do some little old bitty things. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's also the little bitty things that will pull you together. Sometimes I get more, a lot of times I fix coffee. Sometimes she gets up, she fixes coffee. Most of the time I just fix mine and just leave her cup sitting on the bar. And every once in a while the Holy Ghost will say, why don't you fix her coffee and carry it to her? That little old bitty thing, that little bitty special thing that I do for her. It just dissolves all the problems we ever had. There's the small things that you do for each other. I realize this thing's needed more for women than it is men. The more affection that's displayed, the closer the relationship will become. It's the little things, like holding hands. That's one thing that never meant much to me. But I found out that Vicky really likes that when I do that in public. Maybe it proves to a woman that we're not ashamed of them. We're not ashamed that we love them. You know, that's men. Ain't nobody looking. But holding hands, that means a lot to a woman. It means a lot to Vicki to hold her hand in public. Kissing. Sometimes we forget to kiss. You've been married so long, you forget to kiss each other. Lord mercy, you couldn't quit kissing her earlier. Spending time alone together. Alone together. I said alone together, Mama. It don't hurt. I mean, I realize we live in a time where you can't afford a whole lot of things, but once a month, I'm going to say once a month, at least every other month, once a month, if it's not nothing but going to McDonald's together and sitting out at the lake and eating a Happy Meal, get somebody to keep them young'uns and do something just you and him. And if you further along in life, maybe a couple times a year you spend the money and go out for a week, go off for a weekend together, do that. You need to spend special time together for just y'all. Away from them babies. Spending time alone together. Just being kind to one another. Just a little bitty kind things. I mean, you know, that means a whole lot, just being kind to each other. There must be a communion. You know, sometimes men and women share the same home and the same bed, but they don't share themselves. There's no sense of unity whatsoever. Unity is important, y'all. Unity begins in the home. You know, on the last men's fellowship, I preached about unity. And we had a meeting, and, you know, unity is very important. I never really realized it until I preached on that subject. Do you know that starts in the home? If you haven't got unity with your husband or your wife, it's not going to do a bit of good. It's not going to help the church. It's going to hurt the church. We need to communicate about our likes, dislikes, interests, and I'm finishing up. Our wants, our needs, what we love, what we dislike, we need to communicate about it. We need to talk to each other about our needs, our fears, our worries, our lives. In other words, our husband, wife ought to be our best friend. Best friend in the whole world. If your husband, wife is not your best friend, your relationship's not right. It is not right. It ain't where it ought to be. You say, can you honestly say that your wife's your best friend? Yes. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty fortunate today. Outside of the Lord, my best two friends in the world sitting right here, Vicki and Brother David. And nothing against the rest of y'all. Y'all my buddies too. Some of us getting even closer, and I think that's great, but that's my best two friends. And Vicki is number one. She really is. I tell her about stuff that's just killing me on the inside that I wouldn't even tell some of y'all. I tell Brother David about things, you know. Lord of mercy, you need that wife. You need that husband. You need to be able to talk to one another. You don't need to make fun of each other if the other person fears something that you think's not an issue. You need to try to be understanding to one another about it. Be that one they can lean on where they won't go out here and lean on the wrong one and get the wrong advice. We need that with each other. The marriage, the relationship is intended to be two people with one flesh. You know, the idea about marriage is not give and take, it's give and give. I know y'all heard that before, but it is true. It's a give and give relationship. Last statement I'm going to make. Listen to this. When a marriage is right, it's a thing of great beauty and tremendous blessing. It brings a fulfillment that cannot be duplicated nowhere by anybody else. However, it takes work. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a commitment, a strong commitment. It takes people who are willing to place their own desires on a back burner and place the needs of the spouse ahead of their own. You want your marriage to be what it ought to be, you have got, boy, in a nutshell, if I could grab this whole thing and put it all up and sum it up into one statement, if you want your marriage to be what it's supposed to be, I must learn to put Vicki's feelings ahead of mine. And she must learn to put my feelings ahead of hers. If you want your marriage to be what it's supposed to be, that is what you've got to do. And I honestly believe that everything that we've taught today fits under that one single statement. You know what? If you learn to do that in your home, then it'll spread out into the church. we'll start preferring one another in the church house. You know, our children even see it. They'll watch you. They'll say, well, Daddy always puts Mama's feelings ahead of his, and Mama always puts, that's what I'm going to be when I get married. It's a thing that just, it evolves, and it just rolls off and tumbles, and it putting everybody ahead of yourself. That'd just do away with the world's problems, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, I tell you what, we'll be dismissed, and Lord, don't change my heart. I'm not going to teach the next, because we're 15 minutes away from where we said we'd stop. And there's no way I can do this teaching on raising the children in 15 minutes. I'll be honest, we'd take at least 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And I really feel like in my heart, unless y'all convince me otherwise when we get done, I feel like in my heart we need to dismiss this thing today. And maybe we can come back some other time and have a fellowship, and I'll teach on raising of children. God's greatest undertaking, and that's raising children. It's a very important issue, and it has just as much to do with our relationships with each other, too. That can also stand in the way. So you are dismissed. And